Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 111, The Benefits of Fasting, part of the new series for 2020, Putting God and His Kingdom First. Guest Minister Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on January 19th, 2020.
I don't know about you guys, but Santos and I have felt like it's like a reset. That's actually one of our words. It's just a reset, starting the year out fresh, clean slate, new things for 2020. And so we have, amen. I'm excited. Big expectations for this year of what the Lord is going to do. Enoch gave an awesome message last week about fasting, laying a lot of the foundation of the things that we're going to talk about today. And there's some things here that he said that I just wanted to review. He said, fasting is a faith move. It's an expectation that God will pour himself into me. Amen. We have that expectation, right? That Jesus himself is going to pour himself into me. And I like that he said, it's more about what we're making room for than it is about what we're lacking. So it helps a lot if you're not like, oh, I'm not eating. Oh, look at that taco. Oh, look at that chocolate. Oh, look at that soda. I mean, whatever your thing is, right? But you focus on Jesus. Pour yourself into me. Like, I'm letting go of this stuff so that I can be filled up by you. So we're exchanging what we need to survive in order to get what we need to live. I loved that. That's an Enoch quote. We're exchanging what we need to survive in order what we need to live. So in 2020, we're not just aiming to survive, right? We want to live, and we want to live abundantly in Jesus. Like, that's the goal of our lives, of the year, right? To be led by his Spirit. So what better way to do that, to position ourselves for that, for a year of living fully, abundantly in Jesus and receiving, like a recipient, being a bucket, if you will, for whatever he wants to pour in. And let me say, what he's got to pour in, it's good stuff. So make yourself a bucket, like a recipient, to receive that. And so that's what fasting does. It puts us in a position to receive. So Psalm 103, 1 through 5, it says, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. That means remember this. Don't forget it. All his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, every single one of them. Even those little annoying things that seem like, oh, well, I can live with that. No, all your diseases, okay? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things. Not just your fleshly desires to eat, okay? He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we're going to talk today, and we're going to go a little bit deeper and explore the benefits of fasting. So let's pray. Pray with me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amazing Father, wonderful Savior, Prince of Peace. We invite you to speak to us today. We open our hearts wide, like a bucket, like a huge recipient, to receive your understanding, to receive your revelation from your word, and everything you have for us. Thank you, Jesus, for opening our eyes to the glorious blessings that it is to be your children, to walk in your light, And help us, Lord, to understand how you want to use fasting in our lives. Take my words, Father, and speak to each heart in a powerful way of what you know they need. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Okay. I'm excited. Ooh, I'm excited. Okay, reset. Benefits of fasting. Okay, these are just some, all right? There's probably a ton. There's lots. So hint's a good thing to do, right? Because there's so many benefits. Number one. Where's my book? Okay. Number one, it brings God's power. Raise your hand if you want some power of God in your life this year, right? Woo, that's number one. It brings God's power. I don't know about you guys, but I'd rather have God's power in my life working than my own power. Piddly little, it's not even power, really. It's just like an effort. A for effort, good try, you know? Okay. Let's see. It's a weapon. I wanted to say that. Fasting is a weapon. Who said Christians are these little sweet kumbaya people? I mean, yes, we lead by love because Jesus is in us. But we've got weapons. Ooh, we've got weapons and we're powerful. So fasting is a weapon that we can use. Okay. I wanted to read this. This book. This book is really good. This book inspired me. 21 Day Fast by Dr. Bob Rogers. Okay, so he's talking about fasting that brings God's power. He says, it's difficult to fathom the effects of nuclear weapons today and what they would do if exploded in Washington, D.C. or New York City. By most estimations of present-day weapons, most buildings would collapse in a 15-mile radius of the impact. Think about from here, 15 miles out. I mean, our house is, what, 4 miles away? Downtown? I don't know. Think about where your house is. 15-mile radius. Now, that's some power. Okay? And where... I forgot my book today that had all the markings in it, so bear with me. Help me, Holy Spirit. Where was it? Just, here it is, just as the Creator is greater than that which He has created, so is the power given to us by God through fasting and prayer. The rewards of fasting are on the same level spiritually as to what nuclear power is to mankind. North Korea, Iran, and other nations are lusting for natural power to rule the world. But we have a greater power than all the nuclear, atomic, and secret weapons of the nations of the world through God. Fasting will truly bring nuclear spiritual power in your life. Nothing will be impossible for you. Amen. Yeah! I want some nuclear spiritual power working in my life this year, so get ready. Buckle up, everybody. Okay, number two. This is probably my favorite one. This is my favorite one. Fasting brings intimacy. It brings intimacy with the Father, with Jesus, the person of Jesus. It draws you to His presence. It's just like a magnet. Drawing you to His presence. The Bible gives us examples of people that were fasting and ministering to the Lord, right? Like in Acts 13, 2, we can see this. It says, I'll just read number one so we get the context here. They were in the church. They were gathered with Paul and Barnabas. It says, now in the church, this is Acts 13, 1 and 2. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod and Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping, and the King James Version says, while they were ministering to the Lord, or they ministered to the Lord, I think it says, in fasting, the Holy Spirit said, and then he gave them directions, and we'll talk about that in a little bit here. But they were ministering to the Lord. What does that mean, to minister to the Lord? It's not praying to get something, but it's what you have, what you bring as a person. You take time to visit with the Lord and you minister to his heart. It's awesome. It's fun. Worshiping him. In Ephesians 5:18 and 19, it says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, we've heard this verse, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. This is fun. Amen. You guys can ask Yolanda the Honda, my car out there, this whatever, a couple weeks of the fasting, she's heard some songs, man. I'm like driving and I'm turning off the radio and I'm singing to the Lord. And it's like, ooh, some of it's a joyful noise and some of it's like, ooh, that sounded good. But God is pleased. God is pleased when we sing to him, we worship him, we minister to his heart. It's really fun. You just kind of let yourself go. Let yourself just flow in his Spirit. Whoa, I'm hitting stuff. Let's move that out of the way. Okay, nothing's right around me. All right, I can wave my arms. For those that are listening on podcasts, I'm a hand talker, so just imagine me talking with my hands and not hitting anything now. Okay, so what happens as a result of that? He becomes your satisfaction.
Amen.
Ooh, he becomes your satisfaction. I have a friend, a dear friend of mine back home in Rochester, who has told me about a period of time, and I think she still doesn't really eat chocolate, that she was giving up sugar, and chocolate is like her thing, and she and I are chocolate buddies. And she told me after some time, like the struggle of that, but what the Lord did in her heart through that. And she said, you know, it's like, I'm not as attracted to it anymore because I found my satisfaction in Jesus. Like he's the one that fills that need even better than chocolate. And I'm like, oh, wow. How could I ever get there? Is it possible? She's like, yes, you can get there. He can be your satisfaction. It's like what I call the sweet spot. I wish every moment of fasting, of like a 21-day fast, would be feel like that, because it would be awesome, right? Like he's your satisfaction, that you're not thinking, it's not about the food that you're giving up, but he is your daily bread, really, and he's filling you up. That we get so caught up in like ministering to the Lord that we forget, I'm not eating. And it's not, maybe we don't forget, but it's not a thing, because you're like, he's got me, he's feeding me, and it's so much better, so much better. Fasting increases your hunger for God and his word, and that's a good thing. When Jesus fasted 40 days in the desert, which I always found it interesting that that was initiated and led by the Spirit of God, right? When we read about that in Matthew 4, it was the Spirit of God that sustained him during that temptation. When Satan tempted him, you can turn to Matthew 4, 3 and 4. He replied with the strength of the word. He used the word, right? Every time. That was his food. That was his nourishment from which he fought temptation. So the tempter came to him in verse 3, this is Matthew 4, and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. God sustained and satisfied Jesus with the word, because Jesus was seeking after that. So it's not just going to come in a fast. Like, oh, I'm not going to eat, and all of a sudden I'm just going to be like, no, we have to seek the word. We have to minister to his heart. We have to give him our time. So like, you know, instead of the time that you would use to, I don't know, meal plan, go grocery shopping, maybe it's a little bit slightly different for a partial fast, but I think it's even easier to do a full fast. I had an easier time when I was doing a full fast for a couple days rather than a partial fast, because once you give your belly something, it's really greedy. It wants more, and it's like, more, 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 and I'm like, stop that, stop that. I gave you a little bit. Wasn't that broccoli enough, you know? It was like, you know, my belly's like, more, more, stop, stop. And that's the whole point of it, right? That we're subjecting our flesh to our spirit. We want his word, Jesus, the bread of life himself, to feed us. And that's why I have that. That's our key verse today that says, "I," from John 6, 35, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." When you're fasting, are you living on every word that's coming from the mouth of God? Are we? Because that's like where we need to aim, right? For his word to be our nourishment, to fill us up, to sustain us. He is my bread of life. So just like my friend said, I don't need that stuff anymore. He's my satisfaction. He's my bread. He's my nourishment. And it's so good. So good. We miss out on special intimacy and filling from the Lord if we just fast religiously. If we just say, I'm just not eating. That's a diet or health, whatever, effort. But it's different. It's different, and it gives us something, that filling, when we can really give our time, surrender ourselves, and say, God, I'm yours. Fill me up. Fill me up. Okay, moving on. Number three, we receive direction from the Lord. I like direction from the Lord. Like blinking lights, I was always like a little bit, Lord, tell me A or B. Like, tell me A or B. And God would say, you decide. I'm like, no. So direction to me, hearing God's voice is like, it's a thing for me. He knows. And I tell him when I do hear his voice, oh, I love when I hear your voice, God. I want more of that. I want to hear your voice because I need your direction. And I want that. And I want to do the right thing. Hence, that's why I used to get so frantic about, tell me A or B, A or B. God's like, I trust you. Go. He trusts us. Okay, direction. When we submit our flesh to be led by the Holy Spirit, we're telling our flesh, you're not in control here. I look at my arm. I don't know. You know, you're not in control. I always do that. Well, then I like go to reach for something else. When I, you know, I do that. And my friends maybe have seen me do that. Stop that. Down, flesh, down, you know? my gosh. I'm a little hyped up today. No coffee here. Praise the Lord. It's being filled up with the Holy Spirit. Bear with me. Okay, so we're saying you're not leading me. Like, you're not in control here. And the flesh, what does it say? Wah! It's like a two-year-old that has a tantrum. I work with them, so I can say this. Wah! And screaming and kicking. No, my kids don't do that. My little kiddos, they're doves. They're blessed doves. We say, flesh, you're not in control. The Spirit of God leads me. Okay? And just to review here, we don't fast to get God's attention or like strong arm him, like, you know, to convince him to move. It's us. It's putting ourselves in a position where we can hear him, where we can be led by him, where it's not our flesh in control. And we're open, we're sensitive to hear his voice and receive his direction. And it's really an awesome thing. So there are several things that we, like subcategories here, if you're taking notes, that we can receive direction for. For the ministry, we can receive direction for the ministry to send out ministers on God's behalf to do God's work, like in Acts 13 that we had talked about before, where they were ministering to the Lord. And what happened there when they were ministering and worshiping to the Lord, he gave them direction. He spoke and he said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Cool, right? It's good. Maybe if they hadn't been giving of themselves in such deep worship and fasting to the Lord, maybe they wouldn't have heard that direction. Maybe they would have missed it, or God would have had to do it at a different time. But he needed them then to be sent off for the work that he had for them. Also in Acts, a little bit further on, Acts 14:23, Paul and Barnabas anointed leaders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. Okay, so as the people of God, we can use this as a tool to hear what God is doing among us. Who is he ready to send off into their next assignment, so to speak? Fasting purifies the church. It purifies the appointed one and the one who appoints him. Fasting creates the spirit and atmosphere for people to move into their ministries. It's preparation. Okay, another type of receiving, or another way to receive direction. That sounds weird. You can also receive direction for making decisions. Your body becomes quiet, your heart becomes quiet to hear from God. And Jesus did that. We have lots of examples of that in the scriptures, right? When he was selecting the apostles, for example. Another one, in crisis, we can hear and get God's direction in crisis. Paul, in Acts 27, he was on his way, right, by ship to appeal his case before Caesar. Remember this? In Acts 27, and a storm arose. And it says in verse 20, this is Acts 27, verse 20, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. Paul had perceived danger by the Spirit of God. He was sensitive, right? He perceived danger by the Spirit of God before they left, and he fasted, right? So then the account continues in verse 21. It says, after they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice to not sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid. Wow. He was fasting. An angel came to him and gave him specific directions. Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Cool stuff, right? When we're in crisis, the middle of a storm, whether it's physical, a real physical storm like in this story with Paul, or a storm of life that's a crisis, that's a difficult time. It doesn't say how long exactly Paul fasted, right? But after abstaining from food for a while and seeking God, he stood in their midst of the men and he told them. He shared with them the promise that not one of your lives is going to be spared. Like, be in peace. That's awesome. We need that. We're not promised. We're promised that Jesus will walk with us every day of 2020, right? But we're not promised that it's going to be smooth sailing the whole time. But he gives us tools. Amen. Fasting is a tool. He gives us power to be able to weather the storm, right? We have the living God on the inside of us. And he can direct us and lead us and guide us and bring his protection. And fasting will help bring that in a faster way, perhaps, than just praying. Another crisis that I was, a situation that they used fasting that I was studying a bit is in 2 Chronicles 20. And maybe this is a lesser known story than, say, other examples that we have in the Bible of fasting, like with Esther or with Jonah. So I wanted to share this one. It's 2 Chronicles 20, starting in verse 1. So we're going to read a bit here. It says, after this, the Moabites, okay, sorry, preface, and we're going to, it'll say this, but there's a national crisis, right, in the land of Judah. And there's a famine in the land. Or not necessarily a famine, but God brings, there's disaster. Let's say it that way. Okay. I'll let the word tell us instead of me trying to tell it. Okay, after this, the Moabites and Ammonites with some of the Munites, all the little ites, came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. He was the king of Judah at this time. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in, help me Lord, Hazazon Tamar, that is in Ed Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. He made a decision right there. He made a decision, a determination, it says, this is verse 3, to inquire of the Lord, to like seek God, to consult him. And then it says, he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. Can you imagine if our leader called a fast for the United States in all the land when we were going through trouble? That'd be a good thing, right? That'd be a really good thing. That'd be cool to see what God would do with that. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Wow. From every town, they came in to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now, here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. Do you ever feel like that? Or maybe on a national level too, like we have no power in ourselves to face what this army that is attacking us, that is confronting us. But they knew who God was, right? In that beginning declaration that we just read. So they continue and they say, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. All the men of Judah with their wives and children and the little ones stood there before the Lord. Then, so they're seeking God. They're putting themselves in a position to hear God. And then look what happens. The Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, and he stood in the assembly. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you." Wow. So the Lord is speaking. "Seek and you will find," the Bible says. Okay, he says, the Lord says, "Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel." They have secret information right here. They're getting the plans of the enemy, because God knows that, right? And therefore, he's instructing them how to act then. "You will not have to fight this battle." I love it when God says that to me. "You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, though. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." So Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all of the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in the prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army. I love that. There's so much power in praise. And he knew that. And he was being a good leader. And so he instructed and he appointed men to sing to the Lord. That was their job. That was their assignment, to sing praises to God. So they were saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." Verse 22, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Ooh-wee. If that story doesn't motivate you about fasting and the result of that, I'm not sure what will. Thank you, Jesus. So in the middle of this crisis, led by King Jehoshaphat, right, he declared the fast and that put, you know, said to the nation, "We're going to put ourselves in a position to hear from God, to humble themselves, right, by fasting." And so he spoke, God spoke and directed them in the middle of this crisis of what to do and led them to victory. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. So then just the ending, just the victorious conclusion here, verse 27, it says, "Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully." How did they return? Joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets. The fear of God came on all of the surrounding kingdoms. That's cool. The fear of God came on all of the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So when we, as individuals, or let's say as a nation, humble ourselves, seek God, hear from him, and God shows up, others, the surrounding kingdoms, the surrounding nations are going to hear about it and see what the Lord is doing in our lives. And we're going to affect other people. Yes. And that's what we're called to do, right? Be of influence, called to affect other people. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. And then we get the victory. I mean, it's God's victory. We get the victory, but God blesses us with that and with peace. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. So direction in setting apart ministers to the Lord to go out for their next assignment, direction in making decisions. He gives us direction during times of fasting for crisis situations. Okay? So that was a recap. Next one. God rewards you when you fast for the right pure motive. And we know this in Matthew 6. It says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others are fasting. Truly I tell you, you know it's important when it says, truly I tell you, like, pay attention to this. Really, I'm telling you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, do your hair nice, put on makeup, do whatever you do, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So it's talking about the pure motive of why we fast. Right? It's not to gain attention from others. It's not to say, oh, look at me, I'm so holy, or I'm this super Christian. But we know it's to seek God, to honor him, to make ourselves, to submit our flesh so that we can be more sensitive for what God is wanting to speak to us. Sometimes we look for other people to reward us, right? If we're honest. But isn't it the best to look for God's reward? Like, we want to please him. We want to be God pleasers, not people pleasers. And we want to receive the reward that God has for us. And he promises to do that when we fast with a pure motive. So that's another benefit. Another one, breaks poverty. Yeah. Raise your hand if you'd like some of that. Breaks poverty, breaks lack. Okay, I'm going to go use this book here because this is just such good stuff. Okay, this says, fasting breaks the power of poverty. To some, this may come as a shock, but it really is true. I discovered that as I plant a seed each time I fast, a major blessing returns to me quickly. As I was reading the Bible, that secret opened up to me. Peter preached from the book of Joel on the day of Pentecost. The book begins by telling about a nation that was coming against Israel. They are strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, from Joel 1:6. He says it is the army of locust and palmer worms without number. They devoured the land, so there was no food to eat. Poverty had ravaged the entire country. Joel 1:13 says that they were so poor they couldn't even bring an offering to the house of the Lord. Has anyone ever been there? You just didn't have money to give an offering to the Lord? I have. So they called for a fast. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. This is from Joel. That's Joel 2:15, if you read this whole account in chapters 1 and 2. As a result of the fast, the threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. The wheat and new wine mean prosperity. God broke their poverty. And then Joel 2:26 tells, ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. The Lord brought great financial blessings as the people fasted and prayed. And there's lots of other testimonies in here about people getting mortgages paid and debts paid and God breaking off different way manifestations of poverty in their life. So God breaks poverty through fasting. Awesome. Okay. We doing okay? We're awake? Okay. Keep going. Godly protection. Isaiah 58, the second part of verse 8, it says, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. I want the glory of the Lord as my rear guard. He is. Thank you, Jesus. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here I am. And then also verse 11, it says, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. That seems like even beyond protection. That's like extra stuff there. That's awesome. I want to be like a well-watered garden. So we have godly protection when we fast. Another one, it makes your light shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. It makes your light shine. Isaiah 58 says that when you do the right kind of fast, right, that pleases God, and you do it with a pure heart, verse 8 says, then your light will break forth like the dawn. That's cool. I like that. Also, verse 10, your ability to receive revelation increases. And also to share revelation. And it gives you boldness. It lets our light just come out. And I don't know about you guys, but I've experienced too in this fasting particularly, just like the compassion. Like, I asked my husband, I'm nicer, right? I'm not only to him, but like, I feel the compassion. They're giving me thumbs up back there. Happy wife, happy life. Thank you, Jesus. Just the compassion of God. That's part of this, of like our light is shining because we're getting filled up in him. Like he's shining his light fully on me and I'm not distracted by making dinner and all this other stuff, that I'm receiving his light and it just busts out. And I find myself, I've been doing a lot more in this time of interceding for people. Several of your faces here just popped to me and it's like, okay. And we just, it's just fun. It's fun. Praise God. Okay. So it makes your light shine. Another one, it increases your spiritual capacity. Who wants some of that? I want greater spiritual capacity, right? Sensitivity to the Lord. It broadens the ability for the Spirit of God to flow in your life. I love this. Fasting is like drinking spiritual Drano. Have you guys ever like dealt with a clogged up drain or shower pipe or whatever that's all clogged? It's kind of gross, kind of nasty. It's clogged up. Sometimes that's us. That's our spiritual ears to hear. Let's be honest, right? And we're just distracted and we're just doing maybe a lot of things. But we're distracted, and so fasting will clean out the junk, like pouring Drano down the pipe, or if you get one of those, the snake that you put down in there, and you got to put gloves on because it's really nasty what comes out, right? And also, in a physical sense, you kind of think about that too, especially if you're doing a full fast, you're detoxing the body. Sorry, but... You're detoxing the body. That's a good thing. Like there's so many impurities in our body. We can use a little reset. Let's just say it that way. Little reset, like a little cleaning of house here, right? In a spiritual sense and in a physical sense. It's a good thing. It's good for our bodies to receive that. Ask me after church if you want to hear a funny story about what not to do when you're doing a full fast, because, yeah. Okay, don't drink acidic things. We'll just say that. Lemon water, highly concentrated lemon water, bad night Wednesday night. Okay, so don't do that. I don't know. I know this stuff, but I got mixed up. So I learned. You learn. You live and you learn. And I'm still living and breathing to talk about it. So thank you, Jesus. He answered me as I was... Yeah, I won't say that. Okay. All right, focus. Another one. It gives you answers to prayer. That's kind of like the spiritual Drano, too. Like, if there's gunk, partly because I'm not hearing maybe what my part is, if I'm praying for something, there's just gunk all clogged up, blocking from me hearing, and also just maybe blocking the miracle, blocking what I'm praying for. And we pray and we fast, and God says, I'm going to take that obstacle out of the way, And here comes your miracle. Here comes the thing that you've been standing and praying and believing for. And there's tons of testimonies in this book that you can check out too, because they're really, it's like, I was reading this and going, I want that. I want that. And I decided to go for the full fast for a couple days because it was like, yes, if you want different results, you got to give, if you want more, you got to give something more, right? So answers to prayer. And this talks about that in Isaiah 58, also verse 9, it says, then you will call and the Lord will answer, and you will cry for help, and he will say, here I am. Like, here I am. Jesus, I'm the bread of life, and I'm here. I am with you. I am for you and not against you. Okay, and the last one. Fasting builds mountain-moving faith. Mountain-moving faith. You know, at the beginning of the year in January, everyone's talking about, or maybe not everyone, but some people do like resolutions, and a lot of them have to do with physical things, and I'm going to get fit this year, and I'm going to lift this number of pounds or whatever. And one of my goals is to build mountain-moving faith this year. Isn't that, I want that. I don't know. Okay. I'm going to read a couple things in this too about mountain moving faith. One of my, this is Dr. Bob Rogers saying, one of my favorite scriptures is found in Matthew 17, 20 through 21. If you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind go not out by prayer and fasting. That must be King James Version. Through this scripture, Jesus is saying that fasting is a great faith producer. It kindles and develops faith far more quickly than any other process. Let me read that again. It kindles and develops faith far more quickly than any other process. Your unbelief will be eliminated when you fast. At times, while fasting, the devil has whispered to me that nothing has been accomplished through this fast. However, I have found that that is the very time that God is building up my faith. 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, when I am weak, then I am strong. Jesus fasted, they're talking about his fast for 40 days. Jesus fasted so his faith would be purified. The New Testament would be much smaller if Jesus had not fasted those 40 days. Have you ever thought about this? The effect of all of those days of fasting for Jesus, of all that we read about in the New Testament. Many of the miracles and stories we read would be eliminated had Jesus not gone on that fast. Jesus would never have walked on water, raised the dead, or fed the multitudes with loaves and fishes. And then it goes on to tell other good things. But Jesus was getting that spiritual, like we talked about in the beginning, the nuclear power behind him, right? To hear from God, to fully align his heart to the heart of the Father, and then produce those miracles. And because he was building up his faith in that time, mountain moving faith that took obstacles out of the way. So we're going to break into our groups here. And you can talk. We just broke into groups and we were discussing Matthew 6, 25. Is that what it was? John 6:35. I'm the bread of life. And talking about the benefits of fasting and how we're going to apply that to our lives. Okay, so now we're going to wrap up. I hope something that the Lord spoke to you today has encouraged you, motivated you to maybe think, hey, I can do this. And I want to do this because, like, I want to receive something different from the Lord. So I'm going to read Psalm 103 again, just the beginning part. So just Let this sink in. All his benefits. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, Amen. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. I think in talking about the benefits that we did, I think we covered pretty much all of those. Maybe not the redeems your life from the pit, but fasting brings deliverance too. Yes. We didn't talk about that specifically today because we have a time limit, but you can do a study about how fasting, what stories in here can you find examples in the Bible of God bringing deliverance. Well, in a way, I guess when we read the story about King Jehoshaphat in Judah, right? He delivered them. It was giving direction, and he gave that deliverance, that victory from the enemy. So fasting is a powerful tool for us. Let's use it, church. We are spirit beings, right? Remember this. We are spirit beings in a physical body, so we need to keep our physical body in check, right? We need to keep it down, flesh down, like in subjection, and have a spiritual reset. That's what fasting does, like pouring the Drano in, so that we continue to be first led by the Spirit. Right? And the Bible says, when you fast. When you fast. So that's assuming that it's something that we're doing, like that it's a discipline that we're taking advantage of, this tool, regularly. So we can fast with a motive to minister to and to seek God. You know, thinking about all those benefits, we can be encouraged and we can be motivated that today when we fast in a way that honors God, and when you do it with, you know, with your whole heart and you seek God, and you minister to him, that we will receive from the Lord what he has for us and all will receive from all of the amazing benefits. So praise God. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you are so good. We thank you for all of your benefits. You're a good, loving Father, and you've given tools to us, Father, to sharpen us so that we can align ourselves with you. Help us, Holy Spirit, to put ourselves in a position to hear from you. Father, we want to unclog ourselves so that we can hear your voice. We love to hear your voice. We say that collectively from the body at my Father's house. Oh, how we love to hear your voice. We love to minister to you, Jesus. We want to give our hearts to you. We want to give our time to you. We seek your face for 2020. And help us in the last few days of this fast to just delight ourselves in you, that we're open like recipients to receive what you have, to align ourselves to your word, to hear your voice in a new way. Take us deep in ministering to you and to your heart. Let us get lost in just spending time with you, our love, our first love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray that you would just show us what a tool this can be in our lives and speak to us, Father, that we can choose to be intentional with fasting, that we can choose times that we will join in with the monthly fast for preparing for the outreach, that each one can be a part of winning the loss to you. And prayer and fasting is an important part of it, Father. Speak to us and show us, God. Give us the strength to do it and the hunger for you. I think it comes from a hunger of wanting more of you, and you're increasing that this year in us. And so we just say we love you. We thank you. We thank you for all the benefits. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Will you guys just thank the Lord with me in advance for the ways that he's going to answer this fast? Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We praise you. Thank you for answered prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for delivering us, Father. Thank you for victory. Thank you for directing us in times of crisis. Thank you for directing us, those that we are praying for direction of where to go and what to do and to hear your voice. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We celebrate you. You're so good. Thank you for all that we're receiving. This whole year, we'll continue to receive this whole year from as a result of the fasting that we've done, this reset that we've done at the beginning of the year. So we praise you. We give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Awesome. Awesome. Happy New Year. I feel like saying that. It's the 19th, but we can still say Happy New Year because it's going to be an awesome new year. Does somebody want to give a testimony?
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.